Welcome to the Elevated Edit Podcast. I'm your host, Blakely Ramsey, and the goal of this podcast is to discuss all things personal development, wellness, and the art of editing your life in an elevated way. From mastering morning routines to mastering your mindset, we're going to sift through the noise and empower you to take elevated action. Make sure you catch the show notes for all the details. Enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Elevated Edit Podcast. I hope you're having a fantastic day so far. I was just talking to a friend yesterday, and she was like, Blakely, how in the world are you getting everything done that you're getting done in this season? And we started talking about it, and I was like, you know, honestly, the secret isn't that I have been working harder. I'm actually working less than I've ever worked before hour-wise, but I now know when to rest and I know how to rest very well. And so today I'm going to pull back the curtain on how I've been able to move faster than ever before while sleeping more, working out more, and stepping away from work way more. And if this sounds completely crazy to you and like it's so unrealistic, just stick with me. We're going to talk about it, okay? I'm going to share all the juicy details of my new company next week. I'm going to do a recap episode after it's launched of all the things that went well, all the things that went wrong, all the things that went really wrong, all of the times I've cried and wanted to pull my hair out, and everything that I've learned. I'm going to do a full recap episode after the company's launched, because I love listening to other people's recaps of like post-event, post-launch, post-whatever it is. They're always just like, maybe it's because I'm nosy, but I'll do all that for y'all next week once it's up and running. But for now, I want to take you behind the scenes of what it has taken to pull this off. And when I say pull this off, I'm going to give you a little context of what my life looks like right now and like why this friend even asked this in the first place. So I have a full-time job. I would say arguably that the demand and the hours of my job are a little bit more than full-time, but I am also launching the company, and then I am the admissions chair for El Dorado Service League, and it is our admissions season, and then just maintaining my personal relationships. My sister just had a baby, and you know, I've got a lot of really good things going on in my personal life, and those are obviously my priority over everything else, and so everything else gets put to the back burner when it comes to my current personal relationships. And I am reading one of Dan Sullivan's books. So I'm actually going to talk about another one of his books later on in this episode. But I'm currently reading The Gap and the Gain. And it is so phenomenal because it talks about how a lot of people are never happy because they always look at their goals based on, like, they compare their goals to their ideal. So instead of, like, these people, they will go, and I'm guilty of this too. So if this is you, don't feel bad, but maybe read this book because it's so good. It's been so eye-opening to me. But people who live in the gap, they'll go, okay, I've accomplished this and I'm here, but look how far I have to go to get to my ideal. Like, I still have so far to go. I've got all this work to do. I have all these, like, I'm so far away from my ideal. And Dan Sullivan talks about people who live in the gain, and people who live in the gain, they go, okay, I'm right here. But then they turn around and they go, look at how far I've come. Like, look at how much I've accomplished, how much I've grown, how much I've changed, all the relationships that I've formed, like all the knowledge that I've learned. And he says that people who live in the gain typically move a lot faster. They're a lot happier. Like, they're able to accomplish bigger things than people who are living in the gap, because people who are living in the gap are constantly looking for external validation, versus people who are living in the gain, they're like, wow, like, I'm so proud of myself because I have made it here and I'm happy with that. And then that opens them up to achieve even more. And so anyway, it's a really good book. And as I was reading through it, I was like, okay, like, where is my gain at? And it kind of hit me, because this is something that I haven't stopped and appreciated. But if I was trying to do what I'm currently doing just a year ago, I would have broken in half. I would have had probably a mental breakdown, like, no joke, like, I will have to deal with a couple of my breakdowns in like 2021, 2022, when like life was kind of out of control. So he would attest to that. I would have self-sabotaged. I would have convinced myself that I wasn't capable. I would have told myself all the things that could have gone wrong, and I probably wouldn't be making any progress. But today, I am handling it all really well. There's definitely still times where it's hard, and there's times when I have to show up even when I really don't want to. But for the most part, everything right now is easy. Everything feels effortless. There's not like I don't feel like I'm res like resisting and like having to like push so hard. For the most part, I know exactly what I need to do every single day, and I show up and do it. And it's not 100% fun all the time, but at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, I got a lot done today. I feel really good about today, and it's just like it's so drastically different from where my life was before. And I owe all of this to Restoration Days and 10X principles. And I'm not going to go too deep into the book, 10X is Easier Than 2X. That's a Dan Sullivan book as well. I talked about it a couple episodes ago, and I'll link that episode in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to it. But just a quick recap, 2X thinking was definitely me in 2021 and 2022. I was in the gap. There was no gain for me. I was in the gap and I was 2X thinking. So I was like, okay, I've got to work harder. I've got to grind longer. I've got to sacrifice sleep. I've got to say yes to everything, 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 like to the detriment of my whole entire life. I had no like hobbies. I didn't really like enjoy anything. I just said yes to everything all the time because I was trying to build a network and build my brand. And in my mind, I thought, well, if I can just make everybody happy, then everybody's going to want to use me, and then I will accomplish my goals. And of course, I found out very quickly that if you try to make everyone happy, they will use you, they will walk all over you, and yeah, you end up looking like the bad guy so many times, and it's just not worth it. So that is not referenced at any particular situation. It was event after event after event, situation after situation over a course of a couple years. And I was like, I have got to start standing up for myself. And it started with me, really kind of deciding to change my life. And now this year, I mean, I just feel like everything's taking off and it's really wild and really fun. But now I am thinking with 10X thinking, which is so free and fun and light and enjoyable. Because with 10X thinking, you're working smarter, you're restoring your energy, and you're removing at least 80% of distractions. I feel like in this season, like in this last month, I've removed almost like 90% of distractions. I am not returning a lot of phone calls. Like if there's not a point to the phone call, I'm probably not going to call you back. I'm not texting a lot of people back. I'm not doing a lot of social stuff. Like I'm super zoned in. When I'm not zoned in, I'm restoring my energy. And then I'm executing with precision. So it has definitely been a different style of operating for me, but 10X thinking has been so beneficial, and it is the only way that I've been able to get all this done. And so with 10X thinking, instead of asking, how can I do more, you start asking, how can I collapse time and do what actually matters? And in theory and like in writing, like I'm sure I've seen it before where it's like, oh, if you do less, you'll achieve more. Just, and it's like, okay, great. That's great for you. Like, I'm glad you can do that because you probably already, you're already rich, or you already have free time. Like it's easy to hear what people say and be like, okay, that's great for you, but that's not actually going to work for me. But in the season, like when I went into this, I was like, okay, Blakely, like you have got to do, like you're not gonna be able to accomplish all this thinking the way that you've been thinking the last couple of years. Like you're gonna have to completely think differently. And I'm so thankful that this 10X is Easier Than 2X book was essentially handed to me at the beginning of the season, because I was like, okay, I'm gonna go into the season with this mindset. And Dan Sullivan, the author, he actually co-authors it with Benjamin Hardy. But anyway, he takes 180 days off a year and he pencils those into his calendar before he pencils in anything else. And I'm like, okay, I am still in the build phase. I'm in the brand building phase. So I can't take 180 days off yet. But that is an ideal that I'm working towards. Like, I would love to be able to take 180 days off a year while I'm scaling my business. And so I'm currently setting up my business to one day be able to take 180 days off a year. But for right now, I am being very strategic about doing a lot less every single day. I'm like, how little can I do? And it's not a laziness thing. It's just a focus. Like, what is distracting me? And what is like, what genuinely needs to be done today? And what do I genuinely want to do today? What needs to be done? What do I actually want to do? And everything else is a distraction. It is in the season right now. And thinking like this, doing less strategically, has made me so much more productive. But the number one thing that has helped has been my restoration days. And while most of the time I don't have the capacity to take an entire day to have a restoration day, I have been trying to like blend restoration into every single day. And I'm referring to it as a restoration day because that's what he talks about in the book. And so trying to stay on brand with him. But sleep has been the number one thing that I have focused on. So in 2024, I really kind of implemented a lot of steps to create better sleep for myself. I found a really good magnesium supplement that worked for me. I have some sleepy time tea. We redid our bedroom and we got this amazing bed. It is so comfortable. We got this fantastic comforter and we have this beautiful duvet cover that literally when it's on your skin, it just feels amazing. And our sheets are like the cooling sheets and our pillows are fantastic. And I don't turn the TV on. It's like completely pitch dark. I've got three fans in there. It's extra. It's like icy cold. Like I have really just kind of created like a sleep chamber for myself. And when I tell y'all, there's still some nights that I struggle with sleep, but for the most part, like I sleep so well now. And the last month or two, a year ago, if I had all this on my plate, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to have to sacrifice sleep somewhere. I'm like, no, I am sleeping so much. Just last night, I went to bed at 6 o'clock. It might have been a little after six. I fell asleep in the recliner and I woke up and I was like, wow, I almost slept all night in the recliner. And then I looked at my phone and it was like 8 o'clock. Like, wow. Okay. And then I went into the bedroom and I slept until I think 5:30 this morning. Cause I was like, if I'm this tired, I don't need to set an alarm. And so I woke up at 5:21. I was like, wow, I needed that. So I have allowed myself to sleep as much as possible. I'll still set an alarm because my body just naturally likes to wake up around 4:30. But like, if I'll wake up at 4:30, like when my alarm goes off and I'm not feeling it, like I'll just go back to sleep because the more I sleep, the better that I execute. If I sleep a little bit longer and then I wake up and like start running my routine and like getting my day going, I'm so crystal clear. Like sleep really has been one of the main priorities for me this year in general. I've really tried to limit my caffeine afternoon, not always possible. And it could be possible, but I am not as disciplined. I'll be honest. I'm not as disciplined on that as I should be. I love Diet Coke, especially with some lime and a little vanilla. Ooh, chef's kiss. But I try to limit the caffeine afternoon. And sleeping has just helped so much drastically. I've been trying to take naps on the weekends. I've just been trying to sleep as much as I can. Like every free pocket that I get, I'm like, I'm going to try to get a little bit of sleep in here. And then moving my body every day, that has helped so much. Before I wasn't someone who worked out all the time. Like I had a pretty terrible diet, did not work out. Like 2021 and 2022, I always kind of look back on those as like my busiest seasons. And when I was like headed for serious burnout, like health burnout, mental burnout, all the things. And I didn't move my body at all. Like I didn't walk, I didn't work out, I didn't do nothing. And now looking back, I don't know how I did it. Cause I can tell like days when I don't work out, like the next day, the following day, I'm like, oh, I gotta do something today. Like I'm not feeling this. And I have noticed that the days when I don't want to work out are the days when I need to do it the most. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy, like just some kind of movement. I got one of those walking pads. You can get them off of Amazon for like $80, like pretty inexpensive. And I just have it right here in my home office. And if it's, I love walking at the track, but here lately it's been pretty cold. And yeah, I'm not disciplined enough to go walk in the cold at 5 in the morning. Like I'm just not there right now. And so I'll just hop on my walking pad and I'll turn on like a YouTube training or turn on an audiobook or something and just do something to like wake my body up. Because if I get some kind of movement in, I think so much better all day long. And what I found is that discipline carries over into everything else. So if I can wake up and be disciplined enough, like, okay, Blakely, you need to move your body for at least 30 minutes, like hop on your walking pad, do a YouTube, something, I am so much more disciplined the entire rest of the day. And so that has been something that has helped me so much. Something else along those lines that has helped, and I would say I'm probably at about 70% on this. I am by no means an expert, so go listen to another podcaster if you want like real advice. But I've really been trying to work on my hydration and nutrition just to make sure that I am staying as clear and as sharp as I possibly can. So I have been, taking my greens and all my supplements and trying to drink as much water as possible and trying to eat well. I've been trying to, get enough protein and not eat super late and not eat really huge meals and eat fruits and veggies, all the common sense things. I will be super honest, I fail at this a lot. There's the like I fail at this a lot. So don't get down on yourself if you're struggling with this. This is probably my biggest struggle just because I don't even know what it is. I think it's just a lack of discipline in that area. In my mind, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna cook this massive, beautiful meal and it's gonna be so great. And then I get to dinner time and I'm like, we can just have some chips and a Chomp bar, like I'm like, I do not want to cook anything tonight. So that's something that I'm definitely always working on. We've done like the Factor meals, but those give me like massive heartburn. And I just feel like there's so much sodium in those and they just don't make me feel good. Like when I finish those, me and Will both, like we're just like, I don't feel good after that. He would rather snack. Like he can just nibble here and there. I need a meal. Because this girl gets hungry. But that's something that I've definitely been trying to, I'm trying constantly to get better. Trying to not eat out as much, trying to limit our fast food. If we do eat out, I have been trying to do like a burger with no bun or some kind of fish or something that is not like fried and pre-made. Like I said, I haven't done great on that, but I have given it a much better effort in the season than I normally would have. And then the next thing that I've been doing that is so hard for me is walking away from work so that I can come back sharp. I always want to do another rep. Like I'm like, okay, let's just do one more hour. Like I want to work for one more hour on my messaging or my retargeting or my funnels or one of my sequences or this like my onboarding process or whatever it is. Like there's so many different things, and like once my ideas brain, like once I'm in the flow, it is hard for me to be like, okay, you need to pull yourself out of the flow and like be done for the day. Like it's literally like a mental argument with myself. But I have been time blocking, which I'm going to talk about next. And so I've been really like disciplined with myself of like, okay, you're gonna set a timer and at this time you are done with work. I keep a little notepad on, I've got like a table beside my recliner. And if I have an idea, I don't pick up my phone, I don't run and execute it or try and like ChatGPT it and all this stuff. I literally write it down because I'm like, Blakely, like you have got to give your brain a break. Because if left to my own vices, like I will literally work all day long. I won't stop. Like I'll just run and run and run and run and run until I burn out. And I've really been trying to avoid that in the season. And it is so hard because it is not natural for me. It's not natural for me to stop working because, like I said, I've mentioned this on an episode before, but I used to wake up in the morning. I would, you know, get a little bit done because restaurants don't open until later. The restaurant that I worked at, I've worked at a breakfast restaurant, but gosh, that was when I was like young. So restaurants that I worked at, you know, we would start prep at 10. So I'd pretty much have the morning, but then from 10 in the morning until like 10:30 at night, I was working the whole time, every single day for a long time. You know, obviously I go to school, and so like school days, I wouldn't be working those hours, but then weekends and summer I would. And then in college, you know, I could stack all of my classes like first thing in the morning, and then I could work all day. So that's always been my go-to. Like, I'm just used to working all the time. But the difference was I didn't have to be as mentally sharp. Like, remembering somebody's wing order wasn't as crucial as like putting a metapixel, a tracking metapixel on the head file of your website. You know, there's a lot more brain power that's very draining, and it's a lot of new things that I'm really like so far out of my comfort zone. And so I do have to be a lot sharper. And so that's really been something super beneficial for me. And I kind of get annoyed with myself when I initially walk away. Like, I'm like, Blakely, you are ruining your progress. You're in the flow. Like, good luck coming back to this tomorrow. But what I found is that when I step away, I come back so much sharper. And I will sometimes come back to something that I didn't even realize I was like hitting a wall. And I'll instantly open my laptop and I'm like, oh, why was I doing all of that work? I can just do this. I can click one button. I can do one thing. I can call one person and ask one question. And like, stepping away has helped me move so fast. And in my mastermind, it's so funny, such a small world. There is this podcaster that I've listened to for years and years and years. And she is actually in the mastermind that I'm in. So it's such a small world. But she was talking about that. And she kind of said it in just like an offhanded conversation that we were having. This is why it's important to get in the right rooms. But we were like eating. And we were talking about, you know, like, yeah, we're all going to go home. We've got to process all this information. And she said, yeah, I need to go home and not think about all of this so I can let my subconscious work. And I was like, wait, what do you mean by that? Like, tell me what you mean by that. Because I know it. I've talked about it on the podcast before, like hearing her say it like that. She was like, oh yeah. She said, when I am working really hard for like a stretch of a couple weeks, she said, I'll try to take like 3 days off, not look at my email, not look at my laptop. She said, like, I'll completely close my home office. I won't think about work at all. She said, and in the back of my mind, my subconscious is working the whole time. She said, my subconscious is coming up with ideas, with solutions, with all the things. She said, my subconscious is putting in the work. She said, and I'll just, she does have a notes app on her phone. She said, I'll like open my notes app briefly, type it in. She said, and I'll have like 200 ideas when I go back to work. And she said, they are just like, she's like, I'm just executing in flow. And she said, like, I'll get more work done in one day than I would have gotten done in 2 months because I stopped and I let my subconscious work. She said, my subconscious is way smarter, way more efficient than my conscious is. I was like, whoa, that is like such a crazy way to think of that, but it's so good. And so I've been trying to do that lately, like just give myself a break and let my subconscious work, because my subconscious comes up with stuff that I consciously could never come up with. A lot of people call them, and you know, I'm not trying to push religion on you whatsoever, but I do think a lot of times like God like downloads things into my brain. Like, he's like, oh, thank you for giving me some space so I can actually talk to you. And he like gives me like really good ideas. So I think that he's done a lot more for this business than I ever could. But anyway, that's a different podcast episode. And then the last thing that I've been doing is time blocking. I have heard about time blocking before. I have done a variation of time blocking before, certainly, but the way that I'm time blocking now, I have never done before. And oh my goodness, it is life changing. And I think a lot of people, because this is how I felt, when they hear time blocking, they immediately go, oh, well, I can't do that because of whatever the factor is, because I have kids, because I have a job that's, you know, it changes every day, because I have this, because I have that. Just like, if that's you, That was me. So I get it. But like, take just this one, just a couple seconds and hear me when I say what I'm about to tell you. Time blocking is not rigid. Like, it is not restrictive. The cool thing about time blocking, especially if you do it with Google Calendar or whatever app that you like to use, is you can move things around. Like, yes, the time blocks are there and they're important, but you can move things around. You can, like, it is so, it's just been so mind-blowing to me. And one thing that's really helped is I have time blocked 1 hour into every single day. That's just, it's called white space. And if something comes up, like if I need to hop on a call or if I have to go to a meeting or like my cat got super sick the other day and so I had to take her to the vet, I can just move that white space time block up to where I'm missing whatever it is. And then I can move that task down. And I don't know, like that might sound obvious, but it has shifted my brain so much to where it's like, okay, yeah, the thing still needed to get done, but it doesn't necessarily have to be done right then. Like, that's what that white space is there for. If something comes up, move that white space block, and then you can move that other thing down to that white space. And then you're still able to get everything done. And then the cool thing is, if you get to the end of the day, I have my time block, my white space time block at the very end of the day. And if I get to it and I'm done with everything, I'm like, I'm done for the day. We're off work. But time blocking has made everything so much easier for me because I know exactly what to do and when to do it. It's not about grinding. It's just about giving myself time to execute without distractions. And it's been really helpful for me as far as like, okay, this is my workout time block. This is my get ready time block. Like, I'll like look at the calendar. I'm like, oh shoot, you know, I've been sitting over here in La La Land. I have 10 minutes left in my get ready time block. I need to step on it. You know, I think it's probably different if you're in corporate, but like me right now, I'm having to, you know, get used to working from home. And when you're working from home, there's nobody here to tell me what to do. And so I have to be like super strict with my time because I'll go off in imagination land and it'll take me a minute to come back. And so time blocking has drastically helped me because it's just kind of kept me like in a flow. And I'll also get like so into a project and I won't want to pull out. I mentioned that earlier in the episode. And it's like, okay, I'm you know, doing two coaching programs right now and I could study some of this coaching, some of these frameworks for hours and hours and hours, but I've got to do the back end of my work. Like I actually have to go like make money, make sales. And so I'm like, okay, you can work on this for 1 hour. You can study this for 1 hour. And then I set the timer and then I move on to the next task. And so it has really helped me so much. Time blocking might not be for everybody. It might not be for every job. It might not be for every season. So give yourself grace on that one. But for me, that has helped me a whole lot in this season. And last but most certainly not least, I could not do this episode on doing less but achieving more without bringing this up. The number one thing that has collapsed time for me. One of my coaches, that's what she calls it. She says, you know, you're not just paying for coaching, you're paying for someone else to collapse time for you. And when she said that, I was like, that is so true. Like, when I tell you some of the things that are like happening in the back end of my business, first off, I wouldn't even know about them. Like, I didn't know what a Metapixel and a head file were. That's why I keep saying it, because I'm so proud that like, I'm like, know what that is now. And 2 months ago, had no clue that I needed those things. And now that like, I'm getting ready to launch the company, I'm like, what was I going to do without these things, without like, messaging and campaigns and funnels and sequences and sales messaging and like all this stuff, like all these things have helped so much. And if I had to pick one thing that's made the biggest difference in how much I've accomplished, it has been paying for high level coaching. I have gotten more done in 1 month than I used to get done in an entire year. And it's because I invested in people who have already done it. And like having high level mentors has saved me from making the same mistakes, given me strategies that actually work and kept me accountable when I wanted to slow down. You know, things like questions that have seemed so hard for me. Like I had a coaching call this morning and I had a script that I wanted my coach to listen to. And so I got on the call and in my mind, I was like, it is going to take me like a month to perfect this messaging. But because she has been in the ad space for 10 years, and she has, I think she has been in charge of over $200 million worth of ad spend. Like, for big brands, when I brought the messaging question to her, when I brought the script to her, she was like, oh, that was great. She said, now there's definitely some tweaks we can make. And so she tweaked it. She said, okay, give it to me again. So I gave it again. She was like, okay, let's tweak these three things and then do it one more time. So I tweaked those three things and I did it again. And she was like, it's perfect. And I was like, oh my goodness. And we did this in a matter of like 6 minutes. Like, it wasn't like it took us a long time to group coaching call. 6 minutes. And I look over in the chat, like there's other people in the group with me. And in the chat, everybody's like, Blakely, like, take all of my money. I want to buy what you're selling. Like, that messaging is so good. And it just like made me think, I was like, oh my goodness. She really did just collapse time for me. Because if I had tried to spend that time doing all that myself, it would have taken me 3 months, maybe longer. But now, I not only had, you know, an audience there to give me real-time feedback, I had someone who had the experience, and she was just able to just spit off like, this is what you need to be doing. This is what you need to be doing. And same for my other coaches, like they are, it's so wild to me, like being around people who are just a couple steps ahead of you in the area that you're struggling in helps so much. Because there was like a certain sales message that I was like, I don't know, this just like doesn't sound great to me. And I took it to them and they were like, yeah, that doesn't sound great, but if you just made this one little tweak, like flip these words and then take this part out and then try it again. And so I did, and they were like, boom, there it is. Like, that sounds so good. I was like, whoa, that is crazy. Literally collapsing time. I have always been someone who has had a little anxiety about paying for coaching programs, and especially paying for like high ticket coaching programs. I've always been like, oh, I'll just buy the cheapest option. I'll just go the cheapest way. But now that I have had the opportunity and genuinely the gift to spend what I've spent on coaching, I see the difference. And just having someone who is like so good at what they do and so passionate about what they do be available to me through Voxer, and just be able to say like, hey, can you make these like couple tweaks? Can you just do this little bit of difference? I'm like, oh wow. And not only their coaching, but just being around them and like seeing how they run their days and seeing how they operate their businesses and seeing how they do this and seeing their systems, I'm like, whoa, this is so good. Like, just being around those people and being like in the same sphere and hearing the way they talk, hearing the way they talk about their business, the way they talk about themselves, the way they talk about their life is wild. And I think it's also really important, this is like a side note on coaching, when you are looking for a coach, make sure that you find a coach where their life and their values and their morals align with yours. So whatever kind of coaching that you may be interested in, make sure that their morals and values align with yours. Like for me, family being a priority and time freedom being a goal was really important to me. And all the coaches that I've hired have had the same mindset where they're like, uh-uh, we're not trying to hustle and grind and burn out. We want to finish work early so we can go home and be with our babies. And we want time freedom so that we can travel the world. Like, we can be with our like family. We can like do just like, we can just sit on the recliner with our husband and watch a movie and like not feel guilty about it. And like, that's what I want. And so like surrounding myself with those women and paying for coaching has been wild for me. It has literally collapsed time. The programs were great, but just like the couple little comments they've made offhanded have been so wild. One of the Voxers that one of my coaches sent to me yesterday, I literally messaged her back and I was like, this one little piece of information was just like, it was basically everything I've invested. I could have paid for just that one thing that you said. Like, it's just wild to me. But anyway, that's it. That's all I've got on restoration. Just remember that restoration is not a luxury. It is genuinely a requirement for high performance. This is something that I had to learn the hard way. And so take it from me. Don't learn it the hard way. Learn it the easy way. And I know it's going to feel uncomfortable and it's going to feel strange. But if you lean into that restoration, if you rest strategically, you can execute at an elite level. Because 10X thinking, it's not about grinding. It's about maximizing your impact. And investing in yourself will collapse time and it will get you further faster. I promise you that. If this resonated with you, please share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. And stay tuned because next week I'm revealing exactly what I have been building and how it is going to change the game. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to the Elevated Edit Podcast. I hope you found today's episode inspiring and full of actionable tips. Don't forget to check out the show notes for all the resources and links mentioned. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Follow us on social media for more updates and inspiration. Until next time, keep growing, glowing, and elevating your life. See you soon.